Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hello, I see you're interested in the Corsa with
mobile connectivity.
Exactly.
And advanced European engineering for a fun dynamic drive.
All for just £149 initial rental, then £149 a month.
Really?
Search Corsa Energy. Vauxhall. British brand since 1903. Personal contract hire offer on Corsa 3-door Energy 1.4 75 PS in metallic paint. Initial rental £149 plus 47 months at £149. Excess miles over contracted mileage of 20,000 over 48 months charged at 5 pence per mile. You will not own the car. T's and C's apply. Offer ends March 31st, 2018. Offer not available with free insurance.
Hey, this is Josh Gad, gamer himself from the movie Pixels, and you are listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Happy 10 years, guys.
When I say Gamer Tag, you say radio. Gamer Tag
Radio!
Gamer Tag
Radio!
Gamer Tag
Radio!
You know what? I think I just throw it to the crowd and see what happens.
Gamer Tag, Gamer Tag Radio.
Tune to the sounds of Gamer Tag Radio.
Gamer Tag Radio.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio, episode 494. This is your host, Godfrey. And also, you can call me Danny. Make it easier for you guys. And we also have weekly co-hosts. Let's start off with Paris. Paris, what's going on, man?
Actually, I got a bone to pick with you, but I'll wait till after we intro all the people. But I'm
man, you're fast.
Yeah,
you're
back,
fast.
Man. Back getting a quick podcast in, and I'm going on vacation, so I won't be here next week.
Oh, nice, nice. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm not going to be here the week of the 30th, so you guys are going to be handling the podcast while I'm in Texas.
Destiny Radio 2.0.
Oh, God. No, please. And also, we have Pete Rock here. Pete.
What's
please,
up?
No more Destiny. What's up, man?
How you doing?
Good, man. Excited. I've been everywhere for like the past few weeks.
Yeah. Happy belated birthday once again.
Yes. Yes. Thanks, man. Thanks. Getting younger.
Yeah, right.
No, that is. And getting more hair, which is great.
Speaking of young.
Speaking of young, we had more hair. What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up? Yeah, that's Poston J. What's up, man?
I'm doing good, man. Since the vacation season, I literally just got back from a family vacation about 2 nights ago, and it was fun. Hanging out with the family, can't not have any more fun than that, honestly. Now I need to go and do like an outdoors vacation because I've had my personal time, and now I need to go get some sun and exercise and stuff. So hopefully some camping and kayaking is in the future for me. But other than that, back to gaming. And I missed it.
Man.
Went a whole week without games, and it was fun. But now I have the urge to get back and play some good games again.
You know what? I feel that it's good to take a little vacation here and there, you know, for now during the summer. But because, man, when September comes up, that's going to be insane.
Don't even start on Metal Gear Solid 5. I'll need a whole month to get through that beast of a game. So, yeah, I'm content just reading books, chilling out, hanging with friends. Well, let the mecha games wait a little bit longer. I need some time.
Yeah, definitely, man. What you guys been playing lately? Because I've been on and off here and there. Like, I tried to play Batman, but I'm trying to finish. I'm trying to complete like more quests with The Witcher. Mm-hmm. I've been playing that like nonstop. Now I'm like on level 35.
You're crushing it, 34, Danny. 35? I feel embarrassed now. I'm still like level 24, 25 or something. I just haven't kind of found like a way to get back into it. I'm at that thing where it's like I could keep the story going, but I still want to explore. But now it's like Elder Scrolls. I'm just sensory overload. I can't figure out what I want to do next. And I'm overthinking all the stats and stuff. And I should just sit down like you and just play the game and enjoy it, not be so thorough about it.
Like daily, I'll play the game and I'll pass like one or two side quests like that. And, you know, that's how I do it. I don't sit there like for 6-7 hours playing that one game.
Yeah, I might burn myself out a little bit. So now I'm kind of balanced. I actually borrowed Batman from a friend because he was done with the game and really liking that a lot.
Really good,
it's
right?
It's good. Cool experience. But yeah. I swear, those Riddler stuff, the Riddler puzzles, they kill me.
I feel so stupid.
I'm playing Portal again for the first time. Like I have to rethink everything I've learned from video game puzzles. So well done on, you know, Rocksteady's part. You know, they've actually made real puzzles this time, not just, you know, kept running, you know, fine little things hidden in the environment. So I'm only a little bit far in the game, but so far the story is spectacularly amazing. And, you know, anybody who hasn't played it yet needs to play it. And I just wish they'd fix the PC version already, because I feel so bad for our other two co-hosts too. Still.
Okay.
Can't play it.
Well, guys, head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments, feedback, all that good stuff, or download our past episodes. And you also could go to play.it. Make sure to share our content with your friends, family members, everybody. Just let the word out. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail@gamertagradio.com. I would like to start the show because, look, man, I think with like Sunday, I was watching TV with my girl and I got a random message from Pete saying, wow, the CEO of Nintendo, Satoru Iwata, passed away. He sent me that text when on Sunday last week, and I was in shock. Like, I was not expecting that at all. And at the same time, I was completely like messed up for like the past 2-3 days, just seeing like tweets from the gaming community, you know, everybody from the gaming industry. People were sad, man. You know, I think the last time we got to see him on stage at E3, I believe that was like the year maybe that he announced, I think, Smash Brothers on stage. Couple years ago, I can't remember. I think that was the year that they had Zelda also there. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But anyways, yeah, man. I just want to talk to you guys about this, man. Like, when you heard the news and your thoughts and everything, man. Yeah, I think it was a huge loss for the gaming industry.
Heartbreaking. When I got that text from you, Danny, I literally, my heart sunk into my stomach because I was like, wow, this is so wrong. It's like, I felt so bad for him. I mean, obviously he was going through something even during E3, and he still filmed the Nintendo Direct, like he was in good spirits and good health. And again, that's just a total blow across the face of the whole industry, because Nintendo would not have made it to where they are now and might not even have had the success that they did with the Wii if not for him at the helm of the company. The amount of programming he did on some of the Pokemon games, among other games, to get them out there, to make them
Balloon Fight, to
make them fit onto cartridges. When, you know, the other programmers said, this isn't possible, we don't have enough space, and he used his little, you know, programming wizardry to make them fit. So just people like that being at the top, that gets things done, and he truly will be missed. It's so sad that he just want to be taken so young.
Yeah, man, 55 years old.
So bad about it. It makes me want to go and just hug my Nintendo products that I have and just make myself feel better. But again, I think it'll take a while to get over that. That got me bad. I think it feels so bad, man, for me, really, just because I'm coming after E3, and, you know, like some of the vitriol that Nintendo received because in some hardcore's eyes they didn't receive the stuff that they wanted. I just kind of feel bad that that's the note that he went out on, because I really wanted Nintendo to come back, you know, with that NX announcement next year and just like surprise everybody. And I'm sad he won't be a part of that anymore.
Possibly, like, I think that he was just being himself. That's the thing about Nintendo, mm-hmm. that this is what they believe in. This is them. You know, they are just being them, man. And he always been like that. And look, doing Nintendo Direct, they were the ones that started this thing. Besides, you know, Sony and Microsoft are always doing their press conferences and everything, you know, keeping it legit. But Nintendo was doing something different, man. And the thing, too, with the Wii, they introduced gaming to a whole new crowd that never played a game before. Like, you know, so it became more mainstream, but at the same time, it helped the industry, too. Getting those new people playing, you know, Nintendo Wii or the original DS with, what's the name of the... Oh my god, the puzzle one, the one with the math. Oh my god, what's the name of it?
Brain Age.
Yes, Brain Age. That was a big one too, a big huge hit, you know. And that was all him, you know. Paris, you would like to say anything about this very quick?
I think you guys have pretty much said it all. I don't want to really repeat anything other than to say that it's tragic and it was very shocking to hear it when it happened. I mean, 55 is definitely too young to go. My heart goes out to his family and obviously his extended family at Nintendo and as gamers in this community. I mean, it's just a huge loss because, again, we talk about Nintendo all the time. They're no longer directly competing with Xbox or PlayStation. Nintendo is Nintendo and Nintendo does Nintendo things, right? They are the best developer in the world. And basically their leader is gone now. So, you know, there's going to be definitely be a time to mourn, but at some point someone's going to have to step into that leadership role for Nintendo and just keep whatever they're doing going. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens here the rest of this year and going into 2016, where the leadership of Nintendo is headed now.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? We should celebrate. We should celebrate. That's what we should do as a community. Cause, you know, at the same time, don't forget those that really contribute in the community and the industry, and show that to the next generation. You know, let them learn about the history of gaming. You know, learn about Iwata and everybody else. You know, that contributed in this industry and stuff. So, Pete, you're okay? You want to say anything before we go to the next?
Well, you know, everybody else is talking. I'm not going to interrupt on what you're talking about, the great Iwata-san here. But 17 years in you know, leading Nintendo through probably its biggest times of change, from going from what was the original handheld called?
The Game Boy?
Game Boy to the DS,
Game Boy.
Introducing the touch screen, going to the Wii and the Wii U. I mean, all of those are major, major changes for a game company. Considering the fact that he started off as a developer and was able to move up the ranks from developer and always maintaining that developer mentality and understanding, I think that's what helped Iwata-san be such a great and only fourth president in the history of Nintendo. So, you know, like Paris said, you know, our thoughts and condolences out to the family and, you know, close friends and everybody else over at Nintendo. I'm sure they already have someone in mind. Well, I'm sure we'll hear over the next week or so who's going to be the successor. And that's a high bar to set. I mean, that's just to come equal to the things that Iwata-san did as president and CEO of Nintendo over 17 years, like I said, is remarkable. And, you know, I would only hope to have, you know, a fraction of that intelligence and strategic thinking throughout his, you know, through what he did at Nintendo. So
definitely,
that's all I have to say. Okay.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
What up, y'all? You're now in tune to the sounds of Gamertag Radio.
The other day, Amazon had their Prime Day. I was excited because they've been promoting this for like a couple weeks. So I was like, man, we're probably going to get some great video game deals, you know, some great deals of other stuff. And I get home and I was up till midnight because they've been saying that this is going to be bigger than Black Friday. I was very, very excited about this, man. Right. So, dude, I go online. at midnight, I'm like, okay, there's no sales for me. Let me wait. Maybe in the morning, it'll probably be better stuff, you know? I check again. I was not impressed. Like, what was this all about? Like, they promoted this hardcore, and they just had junk left to right. Of course, it was more than Black Friday, you know, because it had a lot of crappy items, but... Man, that was very, very disappointing. And honestly, there was not that many great video game deals at all. Like, I don't know, man. It was kind of crappy. I felt like I wasted my time, you know, staying up and waking up early with this.
I'm sorry you had to go through that. I saw a TV commercial for the sale, and I was like, oh, man, this must be a big sale if they're advertising it. And it was like, for Prime members only. And I'm like, oh, that must be a really good sale to get me to get onto Prime, because I don't really buy anything from Amazon ever. But I'm sorry that it was such a disappointment. I heard the same reaction all across Reddit and Twitter when I got home that day. And that's a bummer. Like, why would they go through all that trouble of paying all that money to be on TV to have lackluster sales for gamers?
Just think of all the money that they made in Amazon Prime subscribers who got duped into joining just for Prime Day, just to realize, I'm not going to spend any money other than $100 I just spent for my subscription. So hopefully they can still get some kind of return, either through Amazon Music or through the video service, something. Because in my personal opinion, I think all they did was dupe the public into just getting more subscribers. That's all they really did.
That was very slick. I gotta give it to them. Very, very slick.
And I, like you said, there was junk. I mean, I found Radio Shack, rest in peace, VC, like video cassette rewinders for 15% off. Really? Who still has VCRs or tapes?
Hey, I do.
Oh, maybe you should have got that thing for, what was it, $18?
I think I should have.
Yeah.
They even had blank CDs for cheap. I'm like,
not even DVDs, but CDs. Oh, man.
Blank CDs. Deal. Great deal for 2001.
And the biggest deal, you know? The biggest deal of Amazon Prime, Sony PlayStation 4 for $399.89, 10 cents off just for Amazon Prime Day. Shout out to them.
Whew. Oh, my God.
Whew. That's that money. Man.
Yeah. By the way, Paris, you said in the beginning of the show you had something to say.
Oh, yeah, I got a little beef with you. So
what is your beef?
Ooh. So today is Thursday. What's today, the 16th or something?
Yep.
Today, yes. July 16th. So earlier today, Danny and I got engaged in a little Twitter war. And
oh, no.
Just to take you guys back in time. So yeah. So a little Destiny talk right now for anyone that doesn't want to listen to that. Just give me a few minutes. But finally defeated Skolas yesterday, and shout out to my man Khalif, shout out to Uridium, because we've been battling with this guy for the last week or so trying to get it down, and finally Khalif and I, Uridium wasn't with us last night, but finally Khalif and I and another person, we finally took out Skolas, had a great time, we were so excited. Look, I don't care what nobody says, this is why I play this stupid game, because it's moments like that where you're just so hyped and you can't believe you finally did it. I mean, literally my hands were shaking after I finally.
And sweating. You were sweating a lot too.
Oh my God. Oh my God. And if you watch the video, I did one of the dumbest things I've ever could have done in my life and almost cost us taking out Skolas. And I think I would have rage quit and never played the game again if we wouldn't have completed it. But back to the point. So we finally beat Skolas. Super excited about it. You know, I put it on Facebook, put it on Twitter and everyone, you know, all that stuff. You know, just super excited about it. And nameless EA employee took a little snarky shot at me beating Skolas because he did it, quote, 5 weeks ago when they still had the burn. And he was talking about how when he had the burn, it was harder. They nerfed it, blah, 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 blah. I don't care. I beat Skolas and I used every game mechanic the way Bungie intended to be using it, and I beat it. So I don't care what you say, nameless Bungie employee, or excuse me, EA employee, because I got the emblem for year one. Okay. But with that said, Danny decided to chime in to our little Twitter conversation and subsequently challenged me to another another Twitch gameplay session where we'll basically do some challenge mode where we'll play a level of some game, which I'm assuming will probably wind up being Halo 5.
Multiple. Yes. Multiple games.
Yes.
Multiple
games, I think. We'll figure that out later on. But my beef with you is this. You are not allowed to get into my Destiny conversations if you cannot at least beat the Vault of Glass, Mr. Level 23 or whatever you were when you rage quit. So you stay out of my Twitter conversations. That's my beef with you. Because I ain't, look, I'm not scared of you, Danny. I'll challenge you any day, but you sure seem to be scared of Atheon. That's all I'm saying.
No, I'm not scared. I'm not scared. You know what it is, Paris? I have a lot of games that I've been playing and I finished all my games and no, not easy, like you're promoting that on Twitter, like this, like it's true or not. You know, some of them are playing normal, some of them playing hard. It depends what it is, you know. But easy, no. Now, here's the thing, you guys, what I said to you, especially, you guys been promoting PC this, PC that. I'm building my PC, PC master race, whatever, right? And you've been playing more Destiny on your console than anything else. So for you to call me out and say, for you to say, oh, Godfrey playing on easy, you can even pass the raid. Hey, congratulations to you and the guys. Hey, like I said, I give you props. Good to you guys. But go ahead, play other games, try it out, and finish it, and then talk to me.
No.
You guys didn't finish Witcher. You guys didn't finish a bunch of
games.
You
haven't either.
And I understand. You didn't like Sunset Overdrive. That's fine. I finished it. I finished Forza. I'm trying to finish Batman. And there's a lot of other games. I'm not stuck with just one game. When you play just one game, you're going to become a professional. That's why I call you a pro gamer, because you are, that's all you play is Destiny.
Okay, can
just
I talk
put
now?
You on a JV team.
Yes.
Can I talk now?
And I'm going to drop this
see,
mic,
I can't
y'all.
Talk. You keep going. Okay. First of all, stop lying on the podcast, because I do play other games. The only console game I happen to play is Destiny. Every other game I do play is on the PC. I am currently playing The Witcher. I am level 18 right now. I am taking my time, just like I said before the freaking game even came out, because I don't want to rush through it. I'm going to play it through the summer. I'm also playing a fantastic Portal 2 mod right now that you wouldn't know anything about because you don't play PC games. So the fact that you want to, I'm the console gamer champion because I play multiple games, whoop-de-freaking-do. So do I, and so do a lot of other people. Just because I play Destiny a lot doesn't mean that is the only game that I play, Mr. Pena. That's all I'm saying.
Look, hey, look, Mr. Lily. I am ready to play any game, anytime, anywhere on Twitch with you. We had a blast with Halo Master Chief Collection. And you know what? We're going to let the listeners decide which games would you play. PlayStation 4 and also Xbox One. And if you want to put in some Wii U in there, some Wii U action, I'm down with that too. Pick 5 games. Best out of 5. Let's do it. I'm ready.
Is there
anytime,
even multiplayer
buddy.
On the Nintendo Wii?
Pete, yes.
Yeah, Mario
this
Kart.
This is not Smash. 2000. Yeah. Yeah. We're 2015. Smash. Yes,
Splatoon.
They do have.
That's a fun
game.
But all
jokes aside, but yeah, definitely we want to do that challenge, and we'll let the community decide that. But I want Halo 5 to be one of them. We got to do Halo 5.
Yeah,
but
we could do Halo 5.
But real quick, back to Destiny, and I'll shut up about it. So yeah, did the scoreless thing. But one thing I just want to get out there. Hold on, make sure he's not around the corner. I'm getting a second PlayStation 4 for my son when The Taken King comes out, because I want him to experience some of the high level stuff. Like I was doing Prison of Elders, you know, last week or so. I want him to do raids and all that. So I'm going to get a second PlayStation 4 for my son. We're going to jump in.
I'm calling
Taken King together.
I'm calling BS. You're getting another PlayStation so he can stop using yours.
No. I'm being serious.
He plays Xbox.
With the jokes. I'm being dead serious. Because I legitimately want him to do the high end stuff, because he watches me play all the time. He's probably better than me at this point. I fully admit that. And I want him to do it. So I'm going to get that. And because trust me, this is all the boy talks about is this stupid game. Just that's all we talk about. So
like father, like son.
Getting a second PlayStation, we're going to be able to do that stuff and take a game. It's going to be a great time. So
yeah,
I just want to put that out there. And I'll say one last thing about Skullist. In my personal opinion, that is the hardest thing to do in Destiny right now.
Ugh, something to look
I don't care
to.
What the EA employee who name shall not be said wants to say. That is the hardest thing to do in this game right now. Burn or no burn, whatever.
Well, I congratulate you, because I couldn't even get past like the second level of Prison of Elders, because that's hard as crap. So.
Well, here's the thing.
Good job taking on skills, man.
Here's the thing, real quick, and then we'll move on from that. The thing with Skolas and why that whole level 35 Prison of Elders is so hard is it requires constant communication, teamwork, and strategy. One slip up when you're on Skolas and you're going to wipe, period. That's just the way it is. You have to constantly be in communication. So once you actually figure out your strategy, even if you're doing it to a T, we had a situation last night where we didn't even screw up. We did everything we were supposed to do. And literally the RNG, the randomness of where the mines are, got us because we couldn't get from one side of the map to the other because we're traveling as a group. So we had to change our strategy to make sure that at least one of us was on one side of the map at each time. And then we got it, you know, so you got to get two good teammates. You're on a PlayStation 4. You should play with me. Why don't you play with me? You don't like me?
No, we should. I don't know why we never play. It's like we live in separate little PlayStations. No, I'm just taking a break, I guess, until Dakin King. But I mean, if you're still gonna, are you gonna stop playing now that you've beaten it?
Yeah.
Or are you gonna keep playing?
Come on.
Like, you feel accomplished now, or do you still have the urge to keep playing more Destiny, Paris?
Come on. Of course, I'm gonna keep playing.
Okay.
Are you crazy?
Okay. Well, I'll probably go ahead and get my PlayStation Plus back, and then we can play, and you can help me through the harder parts because I got stuck on Prison of Elders. Like, you, the whole disarming the mine stuff got so frustrated. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm mad. But yeah, we should play sometime. Probably be more fun
Absolutely.
That way.
Absolutely. Okay, yeah. Destiny talk over. I'll
We're
be
done.
Quiet.
We're done. Back
normal
talk.
No, but Paris, you know this all is all joke, right?
Of course, of
between
course,
us.
Of course,
yeah.
Of course.
Okay,
no.
And some listeners are going to be like that. Like, they're going to be like, damn, man, Paris and Godfrey are going at it. Like, Pete and Danny.
No. That's why I said the date, because the day is July 16th. If you're listening to this, go back into our Twitter feeds to July 16th. You'll just be crying laughing. Because we were just going at it for like a good, 20 minutes? We were going back and forth. It was hilarious.
Yeah. That was funny. All right, guys. So we're going to take a short break. And once we come back, we have a podcast exclusive. Been working on this for a very long time. His name is Josh Gad. For those that don't know, he's a movie actor. Been on Frozen. Been on The Wedding Ringer. Funny movie, by the way.
Olaf. That's all you need to say. Greatness,
yes,
right there.
Yes. Greatness. And also, he's in the new Pixels movie that's coming out this week. Make sure to check it out, your local theaters out there. So we had a great conversation. Possibly he's also part of an interview, so we're going to play that. And also, shout out to Sony Pictures for making this happen, man. We've been talking for months about this, man. So I'm very, very happy about this interview and stuff. So, and also, Pete, you have a review for this week too, right?
Yes, sir. Finally get to review the Fractal Define R5 case. Oh, my God.
Okay. Well, we're going to play that after our commercial break. And also, fan mail. I know you guys been sending a lot of emails. So that's good. Continue. Also send voicemails. So we'll be right back after this.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
DraftKings.com, everybody. Baseball is in full swing, and you can be a part of the action all season long at DraftKings.com, which is the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, just instant cash and instant gratification. Why would you wait to the end of the season to get paid when you can win huge prizes every day? At DraftKings, it's like a brand new season every time you play. Just pick two pitchers, pick eight position players, and pick your cash. That's it. Ask Pete. DraftKings.
Love it.
You love it. Why do you love it?
It's easy. Most of the time, you got to wait to the end of the season, and you don't have to deal with any of that. You don't have to deal with, you know, the 2-hour draft or any of that. No, it's pick it that day. You win money.
So if you're listening to this, use our promo code GAMERTAG, and you can go to DraftKings.com today and be a part of the $10,000 fantasy baseball contest. That is DraftKings.com. It is the official partner of Major League Baseball. Enter that code GAMERTAG for a free entry now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, what's up, GAMERTAG Radio? Patrick here along with Danny, and we got a really sweet interview for you guys this time. We have Hollywood actor Josh Gad, known for a multitude of roles throughout television and Hollywood, but notably for his appearance in the new film Pixels coming out this weekend. Josh, how are you doing, sir?
I am doing great.
Excellent.
I'm doing very well.
Oh, that's what I like to hear.
The up
upper part of my body is doing great. The lower part of my body is in a state of misery.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. What happened? An accident on set or just, you know, playing basketball and you fell down the wrong way?
I wish it was a cool basketball story. Instead, it did happen on set. I was walking. I'm shooting a movie in London right now, and I was walking back to my trailer, and it was kind of a dark path on like this rocky terrain. And I stepped on a rock, and not what you call coordinated. I rolled with it. But I'm gonna stick with the basketball story.
All right, good. That's what you tell everybody. You know, you went up for a slam dunk, landed on somebody, they couldn't handle it, and you know, you rolled your ankle. But it happens, man. It happens. It happens all the time. So Josh, mind giving us a little background about you for people maybe haven't heard of you. You know, what makes Josh Gad Josh Gad, and you know, how did it feel to land this opportunity in a big film like Pixels?
Well, the premise of the question in terms of people not knowing who I am, I find really, really unrealistic. I think everybody wants.
I know I have personally, but I know there's some people. We have worldwide viewership out there, and some of them are like, "Who are they talking about right
now?" Totally
messing
with you. I've been kicking around for a while. I've done little independent films like Disney's Frozen, and things like that. And then Pixels came along one day, and they sent me the script, and I you know, I grew up in the '80s, so gaming, particularly those arcade games of yesteryear, like Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, Galaga, those had a huge influence on my childhood. You know, my brothers were 10 years older and 8 years older, respectively, Jason and Jeff, and there was this awesome arcade spot called Grand Prix Racerama in South Florida, where I grew up, home of course, Billy Mitchell from King of Kong. We used to go out there and, you know, that feeling that you got all standing around cheering somebody chasing the high score on a game like Donkey Kong is something that I vividly remember. And although my generation was more defined by, you know, the home consoles, like I remember when we first got Nintendo and just playing Duck Hunt and Super Mario Brothers and Mike Tyson's Punch Out over and over again. But that arcade experience is something that really defined me.
Yeah, for me, my grandmother bought me an Atari 2600 back in the 80s. I remember it was like $50, I think, at that time, in the mid-80s and stuff.
Right.
And, what was your first console? Because that was my first console. Then I got a Nintendo after that and everything, so...
Well, my personal console, my brothers had an Atari. You know, my brothers played Pong as religiously as one could. I was definitely a Nintendo kid. I remember when Zelda came out, you know, we used to just have like weekend long, you know, gaming events at my house where we would all play Yeah, and then after that was Sega, and do you remember there was a console called Sega CD? Remember that?
Oh yeah,
yeah, yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
Classic.
That was supposed to be like the console to end all consoles, and it wound up being I think the Latin word is a disaster. But yeah, I was definitely very much into gaming, and you know, the Contra. And like I said, Mike Tyson Punch Out and all those Tecmo Bowl. I was a Nintendo kid.
See, this is the thing too. I've been watching the trailer since it got released of Pixels, and I'm checking out. Like, all right, let's see how many characters, video game characters that I know that pops up in the trailer. So far, I've seen Paperboy. Pac-Man.
Right. How cool is Paperboy popping up in there?
Paperboy is pretty cool. Pac-Man, of course. Donkey Kong. Who else? Do we see any old school characters too that you like too from the movie?
Oh yeah. I mean, look. I think that we've revealed a lot, and there are a couple of more surprises in store. So I don't want to give away anything, but you know, the thrill for me has got to be Pac-Man. I think seeing Pac-Man in his full glory in IMAX 3D is going to be a mind-blowing experience for people. And And, you know, this movie is so great because it's got that old school Amblin feel to it. Chris Columbus, who, of course, you know, wrote two of my favorite movies ever, in Goonies and Gremlins, is at the helm of it. And he's created just kind of such an old school, wonderful, family film. And it just has that, all those elements that I used to love in seeing those 80s movies. This has all of those touchstones.
Yeah, and it's a great idea. I mean, it seems like something someone would have done by now, but I think waiting for the technology to get where it is, like you said, the IMAX 3D, really makes that pop so much more, because it's already larger than life by concept, but by embracing, you know, the ridiculousness of it, if you will, I just really like the vibe from the trailer I saw. What drew you to the film initially? How did you first hear about Pixels when it was first being developed?
Well, I mean, it was pitched to me by Sandler and then Chris Columbus, who I had a discussion with, and I just, again, like, I'm a product of the 80s. My, mm-hmm. you know, my love for old school Amblin movies has been, you know, documented well at this point. Like, I'm a product of that time. Movies like Back to the Future, movies like Ghostbusters, those were cultural touchstones for me. And this movie felt like it had some of those hallmarks to it on the page. And you know, Adam Sandler was my generation's SNL guy. You know, like, when I grew up, we got Sandler, Farley, Spade, and Myers. And I mean, that was like appointment television on Saturday nights for you know, those of us who kind of grew up in the 80s and 90s. So working with Adam and working with all those guys, and of course Peter Dinklage, who's become a close friend, and you know, being a huge Game of Thrones fan like I am.
I mean, who isn't?
It was kind of a no-brainer. Like, it was a lot of great people involved and a great concept at the core.
Can you tell us a little bit about your character in the movie?
Yeah, my character's name is Ludlow Lamonsoff, and you know, when the movie starts off in the 1980s, you meet him as a kid, as well as all of these other guys played by Dinklage, Sandler, and Kevin James, and the four of us are sort of competing in this competition, this arcade competition. And my character is the prodigy of the group. He's obviously the youngest one, and he's really good at Centipede. Unfortunately, he's also a little bit of a social pariah. He's living in his grandmother's basement, and he's become a conspiracy theorist. And he's sort of a loose cannon when it comes to expressing himself emotionally. And that kind of paints the picture of who this guy is in Ludlow.
Very interesting. Gosh, so many things to talk about. I mean, what was it like working on Pixels? I mean, obviously, predominantly, it's a green screen-esque film. I mean, have you done green screen film with the work? Or was this kind of like, you know, a wake-up call to, like, you really had to overact and over-exaggerate your roles? I mean, what was the filming process like for you?
My first day on set was being put into a little car, and and I was on this hydraulic platform. And there was a tennis ball in front of me and a giant green screen in back of me. And the director yelled to action, and I had to scream and run from a childhood hero. Tell you everything you need to know about what it is to work on a film like this. You know, it really does. It boils down to all of the foundations of your training as an actor. Mm-hmm. You know, the first of and the most important of which is imagination is everything.
Yes.
You just have to imagine this world around you. And it's really liberating, actually, and it's really fun. It's getting to pretend to be inside of a world that, you know, I have spent so much time with growing up, you know, whether it was in an arcade, a dark, dank arcade, or in the comfort of my own home and playing, you know, one of my consoles, it was kind of like a wish fulfillment experience.
Very cool.
Yeah. Have you met any pro gamers from back in the 80s? Kind of one of them was Billy Mitchell. He's from here, from South Florida.
Yeah,
too.
BB actually came onto set. And of course, you know, we met Professor Iwatani, who helped create Pac-Man. There were definitely a lot of different people who came and went, but those two were the ones who stood out to me the most. And you know, I think King of Kong is one of the most brilliant documentaries ever. And it was definitely a huge influence in some of the choices in the film, particularly, I'm sure, the homage to Billy Mitchell that is Peter Dinklage's mullet.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it is true.
It had to be done justice. It had to be. So Josh, did you feel that you were like the biggest gamer on set? Did Chris have to come off the side and kind of consult with you on some of these things? Or, you know, was everybody kind of in agreement that, you know, they all loved 80s retro gaming?
I mean, I think all of us kind of grew up mm-hmm. in one way or another with these games being a big part of our lives, right?
Yeah.
You know, in many ways, I think that the arcade generation was more prevalent even for Sandler, Kevin, and Dinklage than it was for me, because that was like they were teenagers during that period. So they were hitting up, you know, instead of going to nightclubs, you were going to arcades on Saturdays, right? And it's like that great scene in Karate Kid when Ralph Macchio goes to go party with his friends. Like, that's what you did back then. And I think that fondness and that joy comes across on screen in terms of the amount of fun that we had, because we were getting to live that period again and getting to do it in a way that you can only imagine being bigger than life.
Yeah, it's true, man. I mean, it's cool that this movie's coming out and it's, you know, bringing back all those memories from all those games from back in the days in the 80s and stuff. And I'm excited, very, very excited about it, man. So, and I'm definitely excited for the surprises too, man.
Yeah, that's the big thing. I like they didn't give everything away. And, you know, I'll play my age card here. But, you know, as only being 26 years old, I only got the tail end of that 80s experience. And I watched the arcade decline, and it was so depressing. And I can't even explain that to my younger contemporaries, how sad it was to watch arcades die. So I'm really jealous of you, Josh, for having that glory days of the arcade scene. And when it was, like you said, people standing around in line, getting hype, excited, you know, watching high scores go up. So I like that you're using that as that motivation.
It's funny because I think that everything old is new again. Mm-hmm. And in this era of unapologetic nostalgia and love for nostalgia, you know, you've seen it with the people running out and going to see Jurassic World, based on a property that's 20 years old, or just the fact that you can even get a movie greenlit now that's about 1980s video games. And I do think that, at least in Los Angeles, you're starting to see arcades come around again. And that, to me, is really exciting. I do think that there's another chapter, and hopefully younger contemporaries will be able to experience that in the same way we do.
I know you've been traveling a lot and you know, working and stuff, but I mean, do you even have time to play anymore or not really with like the current games from nowadays?
I was really, really, really playing a lot of Xbox and PlayStation before my daughter, my oldest daughter, was born. And then I made a vow when we had her that I was going to sort of retire it. And I actually only just recently got a PlayStation 4, and I haven't told my wife yet. I hope she doesn't subscribe to this.
There you have it.
Secret safe with us. Well, we won't spread it too much.
But, you know, I've got, like, you know, now that my two kids are starting to go to preschool and stuff, I've got a little extra time on my hands. And I, you know, a little Call of Duty, a little Black Ops doesn't hurt. Little Halo, little Destiny isn't gonna, you know, it's not gonna take away time from being with the children. At least that's what I'm gonna tell myself. So yeah, I'm definitely, you know, the last game that I played, it kind of took me into like a four lost days that I can never get back. So I've got to be careful. I played Arkham Asylum, and I went into an asylum afterwards. But, you know, it's the simplicity of the old school arcade games is something I will always love. but we're also living in an amazing time right now where the graphics and the storytelling are just, they're truly remarkable, and they're on par with any cinematic experiences you can have. So it's something that I'm definitely still very fond of.
Absolutely. Do you see yourself possibly wanting to do any voice acting roles in video games in the future? Is that something you'd be interested in?
I know Peter's done it, and it's definitely not something that I would rule out. It would have to be the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think it would be really cool. And I've done a little bit of it with Olaf, you know, just in sort of that space.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
But in terms of playing a Kevin Spacey-like character.
Yeah, you're going to put all that CGI stuff? And that's the coolest to me, is you can just be yourself in a game.
I would do that. I think that would be fun. Like a motion capture kind of thing.
Yeah, man, you need to hit up the Call of Duty developers and see if they can get you a spot in the new game. Because that's all the thing.
yeah, Activision, make it happen. Yeah, man. So for those that are curious about the movie that's coming out this week on Friday, tell us, the gamers out there, why they should check out this movie, man.
This is where it all began. You know, I mean, like this is our love letter to the games that launched 1,000 ships, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, you
like
don't have Call of Duty without Galaga. You don't have... Destiny without Centipede. None of these games exist without those first ones. And for anybody who's ever loved those kind of old school Amblin movies of the 80s, like Ghostbusters, like Gremlins, like Goonies, it's just a throwback. It's just fun and for the whole family, and one of those experiences where I guarantee for any gamer out there who has an ounce of knowledge or doesn't about old school arcade games, the smile on your face as you see these characters come to life and characters that you've never imagined in your wildest dreams you would see on the big screen in a live action tentpole movie, that is going to be worth the price of admission alone.
Awesome. That's cool, man. Yeah, I can't wait to take my nephews too, man. They're very, very excited about it. So,
yeah, it's so, definitely for the family. It's a great, great film.
Awesome, man. All right, Patrick, anything else?
No, I'm excited to see it, and I like how Josh subtly sold me on the IMAX thing, because I was like, yeah, it's kind of far, but, you know, giant Pac-Man coming right at me, you know, it sounds like a must.
You got to see Pac-Man coming at you in IMAX. This is what Pac-Man has always wanted to do, but has never had the ability to do. We've given him that freedom. We've broken him out of that prison of a maze.
I like that, Josh.
That's so cool.
Very, very cool, man. All right, guys, remember, head over to the website for more information about the movie. And, you know, I just want to thank Josh. It was an honor to have you here on the show, man. Big fan. So, and my girlfriend, she's a huge, huge fan. And she was like, excited too that I had you on our podcast and everything too, man. So,
pretty cool, thank man. You. Thank you guys so much for having me. And thank you for having a girlfriend with good taste.
There you go.
Awesome.
Well, Josh, we appreciate it. Again, you can catch Pixels opening July 24th nationwide. Go see it, and go see it in IMAX. You heard a treat from Josh.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Put up, y'all. Now in tune to the sounds of Game Attack Radio.
All right, so we're back here. Shout out to Sony Pictures, Josh Gad, everybody, the whole cast of Pixels. Check it out. The movie is coming out this week. So Pixels, definitely, man. So Pete, so tell us a little bit about your review before we play it right now.
All right, yeah. So a couple, just play it. It does the intro and everything, so.
Okay, all
just
right.
Just clean it up from here. Just go and play.
Okay, okay. All right, so we're going to play a review by Pete. We'll be right back after this.
So Fractal Design released their Define R5 series cases a while back, and I was lucky enough to have one sent to me about a month ago. And after using it, I don't think I can use another case for my builds. Ever. I know that sounds bold and final, but it's quite possibly the perfect case. And here's why. One of the first things I noticed when I received the case was the overall design and build quality. The case is designed like a case you'd probably see in an Apple exec's office, just without the Apple internals, and looks just as good sitting in your gaming area. Fractal calls their Defiant R5 series the definition of silence. I'm literally sitting next to the case as I record this, and I can't hear a thing. This is achieved by sound-absorbing foam lined throughout the case. I'm telling you, it's quiet. On the outside, the case can be considered Spartan, and no, I don't mean Halo Spartan, although I can kind of see the comparison. The Defiant R5 is a mid-sized tower case with a full-height front door that can be configured to open left to right or right to left. There's dual USB 2.0 and dual USB 3.0 ports on the top of the case, along with the power reset buttons and a mic and headphone jack for quick access. Directly behind the front access door is a 140mm 1000rpm Fractal design fan hidden behind a removable dust filter, as well as a second filter that slides out from the bottom for additional cooling protection. There's also three modular vents on the top that allow you to add additional fans for cooling, but keep in mind it does affect sound dampening. There's also a variable switch so you can control the fan speed if you have that function available on your motherboard. Now, the sides of the Defiant R5 that we were sent were plain, but Fractal does offer a windowed version if you want to show off your internals. The rear of the case is standard fare with the usual I/O plate, and it comes with 7 PCI slots, so if you've got a bunch of devices you like to plug in, it's there for you. The inside of the case is where it really shines, in my opinion. Plenty of space to go around as well, including Velcro straps to keep all your cables out of the way. There's removable hard drive cages that hold up to 8 3.5-inch hard drives and 2 5.25 slots for floppy, whoever uses those, or CD drives. There's also 2 dedicated SSD slots that sit behind the motherboard on the opposite side of the wall. There's plenty of space for CPU and GPU air and or water coolers, but again, keep in mind that it will affect the sound dampening because you're removing some of those foam-lined panels. All in all, the Fractal Design R5, in my opinion, is the top alpha dog of PC cases. They come in 3 different color flavors, black, titanium, and white, and retail for about $110 US. If you prefer the windowed variety to show off your internals, expect to fork over an additional $10. If you guys are looking for a new case for your current or new builds, I highly recommend the Fractal Design Defiant R5. You can get it in most places, including Newegg, Fry's, or any other place that you can go and get your PC supplies. So send it over to the guys, and if they've got any questions, shoot.
All right. Any questions for Pete? I guess not.
No.
It looks very nice.
So, Pete, you know the case that I have. I have the NZXT H440. Are you familiar enough with that?
Kind of. I mean, I saw your build pictures as we were sharing part picker.
I mean, how would you compare, like going with the Fractal compared to that? Because the reason I like the NZXT so much is it's like a showcase case. I allow myself to introduce myself, but it's a case where you can show off your internal parts and everything. But it's very easy to get everything set up. So in your mind, is the Fractal along those lines?
I would, and I don't know if I've become biased as a result of having the case now. Yes. So there's two different build flavors. As I said in the review, there's a windowed and a regular case, which is, you know, just all black panels all the way around. And the one with the window obviously lets you showcase your insides. Build quality is probably one of the top things that you could say about the Fractal case. From the inside, the rolled edges. So you know how in a lot of cases when you're putting things together, the cases are pretty much just like stamped metal, and sometimes you tend to cut yourself as you're putting your hand in to put, you know, to run cables and wires. All of the parts on the case on the inside, with the exception of one little corner piece, are all rolled. So you're not going to really have those rough, sharp edges that'll slice and dice your hand as you're running wires and cables. There's plenty of feed rails for cables as you're running across. You've got it comes with a handful of zip ties. It's got a cable tray for the motherboard. Fully modular, so if you've got a really big, gigantic, GPU, or if you're going multiple GPU, it's got plenty of space on the inside to support it. You've got the vent panels on the top, so if you want to put in a cooler, you could put that up on top. And the one other thing that I would say that probably goes above the NZXT case is the sound dampening. Every single component wall of this has some form of sound absorbing foam attached to the to the case.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's probably, without having my hands on your case, is probably the only other, you know, major difference on this. Probably the price as well. I don't know what yours was.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a sweet looking case. I mean, you know, when Fractal gave us that opportunity to review it, I got semi-jealous. Like, man, I want to review it. But then it was like, well, wait, I don't have no PC parts to review it with. So, so no, that's awesome. So that's great to hear. So again, if you're out there looking to build a PC, sounds like a great option to go pick it up. What was the price on the Fractal again?
$110. Without the Windows, if you want the Windows, you figure you're going to pony up an extra $10. It's been out for a couple of months, so I'm pretty sure you could jump on Newegg or catch one of those deals on Micro or whatever, or Fry's, and catch it for less. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if you can catch it around about $100, which before I would have thought $110 for a case is might be a little overkill, but I got the case right next to me and I don't hear a thing. So
sweet.
You guys can't hear it. You know, before you guys probably heard, you know, fans and stuff.
Big huge fan.
Yeah. But yeah, with this one, compared to my other one, which had 6 fans, this one only has 2, one in the front, one in the back. That's it.
That's all you need.
That's all. We
might as well be speaking Swahili right now to Danny. He don't know what we're talking about.
I know what you guys are talking about. I'm not that stupid either. Come on. Jesus Christ. All right, guys, it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, so before we start reading our email questions, I would like to give a shout out to JC Penney for sending me some cool Star Wars t-shirts as part of their Star Wars collection that you can find at JC Penney. It's pretty cool. I think they had like pajamas and stuff like that, but I was like, look, I want some, you know, t-shirts like with the Stormtrooper. There's a couple ones with Darth Vader. They even have stuff for females too. So yeah, shout out to them and thanks for the shirt. Yes, and we have a lot of emails here. So who would like to read the first email?
So this first email is from Dan Simons. I believe he's from New Zealand because he has an NZ in his email and gamertag, but I might be guessing.
Nice.
All right, just wondering what your thoughts are on the E3 awards, and do you agree or disagree with the winners?
Winners. I believe Fallout been winning a lot of awards. I think that's Fallout 4. That's one of them. Battlefront beginning awards too. I think with Battlefront, I think it's okay. Some people disagree with it. Do you guys disagree with Battlefront winning awards or not really?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, even as a hardcore Star Wars fan, it's definitely not the most impressive thing I saw this year. So yeah, I would have.
I mean, for shooter, I will put Halo 5 up there. You know, Game Critics Awards, that's what it is.
Yeah, I got it in front of me right now. Best of show was Fallout 4, which I can agree with because, I mean, okay, a surprise announcement coming this year. I mean, unless for some reason they just mess up the gunplay, I think it's going to be a winner. I think we're all excited for it. They had Best Original Game as Horizon Zero Dawn, the new IP from Guerrilla Games. That looks very good to me. Something I was looking forward to, even though I thought it'd be a shooter. And I'm kind of glad it wasn't because it is something completely... totally different. Best console game, they had Uncharted 4, Thief's End. Again, that's definitely the best looking console game we have seen to date, so I can't wait to play it. No, we all can't wait to play it.
Best action game, Star Wars?
Guys,
yes or no?
I don't know.
And best online multiplayer as well.
Can I say something on all this?
Yeah,
and I don't mean to completely derail this. Honestly, this is completely pointless. We are looking at games that are still in development and we're trying to judge what the best thing is. There could be a game that looked like utter crap at E3, but the final game when it comes out this holiday is amazing and vice versa. So the reality is this. You see things at E3, you have to take it with a grain of salt because you simply just don't know. And shout out to Hip Hop Gamer because I love you, brother. But let's take The Order 1886, for example. You know, it had a great showing at E3 last year. Turns out it was a freaking 5-hour game with the final product, and it suffered thusly. You know what I mean? It got panned in all the reviews. So just because you get a snapshot of something at E3, it's virtually impossible to use that as a final judgment of what the game's going to be. Now, we could talk about a game like Fallout 4, and yeah, chances are it's going to be pretty fantastic. You know what I mean? Because it has that track record. But you could take something like, what's that Xbox game, the one that looks like the cartoon?
Cuphead.
Cuphead was amazing at E3. Loved it. Could be crap when it comes out. We just don't know.
The one that we haven't talked about is Unravel. That's still, for me, my opinion, game of the show.
Best of the show, in my opinion.
And here's a crazy thing. Best original game and best indie game 2 years in a row. Still hasn't come out. No Man's Sky.
I don't know. I think they're overhyping this game. They're really, really pushing this game. Like, I don't know, man. I'm still confused what's going on there.
Now, here's the thing. Have you seen the 18-minute video that IGN did? Because IGN did the IGN first.
I heard about it. Is it good?
It's intriguing. Okay. It's intriguing, but I still have that caveat. Is it going to be intriguing 6 months from now? You know?
I still feel like we're playing like Google Space Maps. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you this. I remember there was a game years ago, early E3, and I think Paris was the one that got to play it. Remember Halo? The first time you play Halo, how crap it was? And that game turned out to be one of the best game when it came out.
Yeah, you know what? That is the prime example. Halo Combat Evolved, the first E3 I ever went to in 2001. That's where Xbox showed it off. It was a buggy, hot mess. I'm like, oh my God, Microsoft is in trouble. This game is going to suck. You know what I mean? And then by the time it came out, wind up defining the whole console generation for it, the original Xbox. So you just never know.
All right, second question.
All right, this next one is from Scott Hill.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. just not sure. Okay.
So after watching and listening to the content on E3, he's not sure what console to go with. Xbox announced backwards compatibility in Halo 5, which is going to be awesome. PlayStation announced Final Fantasy VII and Shenmue, honestly. You got to throw that one out there as well, which is beyond my wildest dreams. I feel stuck trying to decide which to go with. And there's also the new Tomb Raider, which I believe is coming out on both consoles. It's actually a timed exclusive. Please tell me what you think to help me decide which to go with.
Now, this is the one, if I remember, he also has a 360 right now, right?
Yes.
I would get an Xbox One if I had to choose one just for the backwards compatibility.
Actually, no, correction. He's got an Xbox 360. He doesn't.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. He has a
360. Now, based on this email, also, Paris, like, when you mentioned, he mentioned Halo 5 and Tomb Raider. Those are games that's coming out this year.
Exactly.
Now, the games that you mentioned about PlayStation, like Final Fantasy VII,
that's three, four years away.
Those games are not coming out years from now. Now, here's the thing. You could buy an Xbox One now that is cheap, right? And eventually, once those games comes out, like Final Fantasy VII and Shenmue, by that time it comes out, the system might be even cheaper.
Exactly.
And you could buy that too later on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you have years from now to buy that. So, I mean, either way, both consoles are great. Both going to have great games. So, but for based on your email, go with Xbox One.
Yeah. All right. So this last one is from Adrian Walters. He's from the UK, and his gamer tag is Nocturnus. Can the direction of current business trends in gaming be changed for the better? Right now, we are seeing certain practices become more standardized across the board. One of my personal hates is retailer exclusive DLC. I want it all, but can't buy it as it's been chopped up like some crappy vegetable no one wants, but will put up with.
Mm-hmm. Well, those those deals are temporary. So let's say you don't pre-order it, they will eventually release it for the online store for you to download it, but you're gonna pay for it, you know. So sometimes might be free. I mean, I think there was one. Was it a couple years ago? Remember the? Was it the Ultimate Warrior for the WWE 2K game that you had to pre-order the game in stores, and then you will get that as a free DLC, right? If you pre-order the game, if you don't, then you're not gonna get it, right? But then eventually they released it
online for everyone else. You know, the thing is, usually companies make deals with retailers, and it's like a temporary exclusive thing. It's not, you know, so you have a choice. Don't pre-order, don't get it, and you're gonna get it late. That's the only difference. So,
no, I think you pretty much got it. I hate it too as much as he does. I'm over seething at the fact that he's right. You can't win. You have to pick and choose, you know, which sounds better out of the two of them. Or you play the waiting game with the game of your edition 6 months down the road. But a lot of people can't do that. So you do have to pick sides. It's unfortunate, but that is a byproduct of pre-ordering. And all you can do is vote with your wallet.
I used to pre-order games, a lot of games before. Now I don't even do that because it's like sometimes company release games and it's so buggy and disappointing. It's like, you know. What I do is I do my research. Sometimes, of course, we get to see games early, you know, and but there's games that we never have a chance to get to see, like a preview or, you know, of the game. So what I do is I go online, do research, read not only from the mainstream websites, but also I go to like forums like NeoGAF. When I see people saying that it's a little buggy, that's when I'm like, all right, I won't pre-order. You know, like there's games that you could tell
though as your basis for a pre-sale because you're basing it on stuff before it hits market. A lot of the times these issues don't come to light until it hits, you know 0 hour.
Mm-hmm. Some come with the day when patches because they're ready for it.
Right, so there's a second part to Adrian's email. It says, then there's the big one. Games being released with unacceptable levels of issues, with some even being classed as unplayable, which is actually the perfect segue to what you were talking about. You saw Batman, you know, poop the bed to the, you know, on PC to the point where has it even come back out? I think the latest note was going to come out until later this year.
A note just came out, or I think it's still in the rumor stage, but it was an internal memo that Batman will not be out on PC again until this fall.
Okay,
trust me, I'm the salt levels that I have about this. You might as well start calling me Lars.
Assassin's Creed Unity last year was a train wreck across the board. Drive Club from Sony is the same way, and then you have games.
Drive Club was a little bit different though, Pete, because Drive Club, they were promoting it as, you know, of course, a retail game, but they were really, really promoting get PlayStation Now. Get PlayStation Plus and get this game for free. But like the wording was a little bit tricky, you know, but then they never released that until like months later, like almost a year.
Right.
Later,
but even then, know, even so. After launch, was it success? Was it, you know, problem ridden?
Yes, online-wise, yes. There was a lot of problems.
Well, it's primarily an online racing game. So, yeah, it's still considered a train wreck. And then to counter that, you've got Witcher 3, who has come out, minor issues. But for the most part, they did it right on launch. And you get free DLC across the board. Was it for 16 pieces of DLC for free?
Can you give me an example like how they did it perfectly for launch?
Minimal issues.
No, they had issues, but they were releasing
issues
updates
as major
nonstop.
As, okay, it's completely unplayable on a specific console, and we're going to hold off production for another, or hold off sales for 6 months.
Or games like Assassin's
Creed Unity, which pretty much was almost rendered unplayable at points in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's when the developer takes the time, like CD Projekt Red did, and put their resources to fixing and patching first, as opposed to developing content. That's what people get upset about. And I was impressed because, you know, even at launch for Witcher, the frame rate, it could have been better. Mm-hmm. You know, a week and a half, 2 weeks later, frame rate was perfectly cleared on PS4, at least in my opinion.
So the question on that, is that the game's fault or is that the hardware's fault? And this goes back to Paris's argument from months ago.
It's limited. Of course, the PC's going to have not only the faster patches, the faster updates, and better optimization. But as a console gamer, when I'm paying $60, it just makes me feel better that I'm getting patches at a rate that I usually would attribute only to PC. So even though The Witcher's patches still come out, you know, a week, 2 weeks before on PC, I felt, as a console gamer, I was very impressed by the speed at which they corrected issues, updated things, and fixed problems I didn't know were problems yet. And that was the big thing, because no one wants to get stuck losing their save file or like a game ending glitch, the really, really bad stuff that unfortunately the small amount of people find out the hard way. Thankfully, developers get ahead of that and patch this stuff out as immediately as possible. So I don't mind them, you know, making the game up until launch because of the ability to have the day one patches. I think that's a great way to get around the fact that, you know, you can never really make a game perfect. You just have to put out what you can and then immediately make sure it works at launch. So it's really the best we can hope for is make sure development teams are dedicated to make sure that their product just doesn't get out the door. It gets out the door and hits the ground running and sprints. That's the big thing.
Do you wait after the game comes out? Or because of the hype, you pre-order a little bit early? Like, when is the right time for you?
You just confused me when you said after the game. What do you mean?
No, because there's some people...
You won't buy the game until afterwards is what you meant, as opposed to pre-ordering it beforehand. Yeah, he just got caught up in his worms.
It really, honestly, it really just depends on the game and my trust factor of if I think this game is worthy of something I want to make sure I have secured. Like, for example, Fallout 4, I'll probably wind up getting it early on Steam. Just to make, just so I have it, so I know I can have it preloaded and everything. Batman was the same scenario. I made sure I pre-ordered that and had it early, ready to go. Turns out I could have saved my money. You know what I mean? But that's just a risk that you take. I think on the retail side, I try to avoid all the GameStop store pre-order incentive nonsense as much as I possibly can, because a lot of that stuff is just extra fluff to me that I don't care about anyways. But if I have no choice but to go to GameStop or somewhere, again, it would take a game like a Halo 5 or something, you know, or the Taken King or whatever, just something that I know that I'm going to play day one and I don't mind just securing my copy to make sure I can play it the second that it comes out.
Like when you pre-order or buy a game from Steam, now they have made some changes that you could get a refund. What, after two, you have like a 2-hour limit, right? And then you can make the decision if you want to get the money back. And also for retailers, you could go anytime and get your money back too from there. But when you pre-order a game or buy a game from the PlayStation Store or Xbox, the Xbox Store,
that's a final decision you on your part. Yeah,
you cannot get money back from that at all, unless it's a major, major issue and everybody's complaining. And of course, maybe eventually they'll change their minds and get their money back. But you're stuck unless you get those games, man.
Yeah, it's tough. You know? I mean, for me, it's unfortunately the environment has become. I mean, I was like, I used to pre-order things all the time because it was fun and exciting when it was a novelty. But now it's you're separating content away from users and separating them to individual stores. So you have to pick and choose your battles. So at this point, for me, it really only comes down to the major series, the things like Metal Gear Solid 5, like Halo 5, things I know that I'm, you know, going to enjoy because, I mean, I already have the console and I initially bought the consoles with those big AAA games in mind down the road. But other than that, you know, most other things, I had to play the waiting game. And some games I had to, you know, even wait until launch date, you know, watch YouTube or Twitch or something and see someone play the game. Because, I mean, you really can't even tell anymore how well a game's going to run because the marketing and the PR has become, in some ways, almost too good. If they know there's a problem and they just know they can't handle it, you know, they're really not going to announce it beforehand. The best we can hope for is they're working on it behind the scenes. So when it does launch, again, you have that day one patch to address the majority of the concerns, and then they can respond to the community base by picking out the little bits here and there that people are having problems with. So again, it's all community response. Yeah. You have to let them know that, you know, hey, you know, we are better QA testers than you guys could ever hire because we are much, much larger in number and we pay $60. So we don't want to beta test. We want a final version and we're going to let you know what you need to fix immediately to, you know, appease us because, you know, we're the consumer.
Yeah. All right. We're going to wrap it up, guys. Anything else you want to say, P or anybody? No? Before we go next? No? That's it? Yeah. Okay. All right, guys. So we're going to wrap it up, man. It was fun. You know, had a great debate with Paris. He's ready to compete and battle out during the holidays. Halo 5 will be one of the games, hopefully. And, yeah, that's it. That's it, man. Remember, head over to gamertagradio.com. Put your comments, feedback. Listen to our past episodes. Also, go to play.it. You could listen to our show there. And make sure to spread the word about it, man. And subscribe, Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. We are everywhere. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us, fanmail at gamertagradio.com. Anything else you guys want to say?
enjoy next week. I'll be on vacation. Hope you guys have some fun. I hope nothing crazy video game breaks while I'm gone, which I'm sure it will now that I've said that. But yeah, I'll miss you guys next week.
I'll miss you too.
No, but not you, Danny. Not you. I'll just miss Boston and Pete. Not you.
Yeah, I hope you have a fun time.
That's so messed up.
Oh, I do have to give a shout out to Peter. Thank you for bringing it. Well, actually, no, somewhat thank you, but thank you for bringing my attention. Well, apparently, new Apocalypse photos have surfaced from X-Men Apocalypse, and yes. I am horrified as Pete is.
Thank you.
What have they done to the best mutant Apocalypse? He looks just like Mr. Ooze from that Power Rangers movie from like 2 decades ago. So, oh my
thank you.
God.
Thank
I don't
you.
Know what they were thinking. Hopefully the outcry is early enough where they can go back to the makeup room and just think of something else. You know, even Thanos looks better. You know, just make him CGI if you have to. Just God, it's frustrating. Go Google if you don't know what I'm talking about. And if you do, I'm sure you're just as upset. I mean, even Olivia Munn looks like a superstar compared to
she
Apocalypse.
Looks like, she looks like Psylocke.
She looks like Psylocke. I mean, come on, y'all. It's not that hard. It's 2015.
Can I just say this one thing? You know what? Do whatever they want with Apocalypse. I really don't care. Just don't screw up Old Man Logan. That's all I care about from
that.
Man,
that'd be such a good movie. Oh, please. Yes. Thank you.
I'm still pitching that picture from
I can't.
From Power
I'm
Rangers.
Getting so angry looking at this picture. I got to scroll away from it. It just makes me so mad.
Oh, oh my God. All right, guys. We're going to wrap it up. Pete, anything else? You no, quiet.
No, they're just
no more. No, no Destiny talk next week. I love it.
I'm gonna find a way to slip it in. I promise. I'm doing it for you, Paris.
Yeah, please do. Hey, look. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, I don't care anymore. I just don't care. I love the game, and I'm just embracing it fully. Which, by the way, I guess I can end on this. Bungie Weekly Update just came out. They're nerfing Black Hammer. They're nerfing Gallahorn, and they're doing a complete weapons rebalancing for the Taken King.
And that will be the last time you're going to hear about Destiny for 2 weeks, guys. Thank God.
When does this start?
They're going to do it when right before Taken King comes out.
All right. So I got 2 months.
Yeah.
All right. Until next week, we are out. Peace. Late.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.